Hi, I'm Ivana.
And I'm Jay.
And you're listening to Friends with Elephants,
a show for the cool nerd in you.
It's season 2, episode 21.
And we are back.
It's been a while. Do you miss us?
I miss us.
I missed us.
I don't know if you did listening. Quite frankly, I missed you, Ivana, and I also miss you, the listener. This was it was a good break, but I'm glad we're back.
I'm so glad we're back.
And we're back with a really fun episode too, because Star Trek Beyond is coming out on Friday. You, as the queen of my friends of Star Trek, we are dedicating this whole episode to space.
We are.
Hopefully you dig that kind of thing, because we're going to talk about some space movies. We're going to talk about some Star Trek characters. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff.
Let's get ready. Before we get into all of the fun stuff, obviously we cannot do this episode without talking about Anton Yelchin.
While we were on break during our hiatus, the world lost a unbelievable young acting talent. Ivana and I, one of our bonding things was when Charlie Bartlett came out, and we had this huge conversation about this great up-and-coming actor. So we're going to talk a little bit about that with the premiere of Star Trek Beyond coming out. You know, we just wanted to dedicate this whole episode to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a loss.
It's really shocking. I actually had the opportunity to meet Anton Yelchin. And he's, not only is he one of the most talented actors I think I've ever seen grace the screen, he was so nice and charismatic when I met him. And I just think that it's really sad that he died so young and so tragically.
You know, it makes no sense.
Right while he was going to be doing such great, amazing things.
Yeah. Yeah. And we are going to see a couple of more movies come out that he's featured in, because at 27, he pounded at work.
Yeah. And he did a really great balancing act of blockbusters to these indies with really interesting scripts.
So what are the top Anton Yelchin picks for you?
I think the number one movie that anyone should see of Anton Yelchin is Fierce People. It was one of his earlier movies before Charlie Bartlett. It was one of the most powerful movies I've ever seen. It's him and Donald Sutherland, and really an all-star cast, but the two of them stole the show. And they're in this film that is all about the divide between the rich and sort of the poor or middle class people, and how fierce or maybe even cruel the world can really be. And it's a beautiful film with like a shocking,
Never heard of it until just right now.
I am a big Donald Sutherland fan and a big Anton Yelchin fan. And when I saw it, I was like, yep, I don't care what it is, I'm watching it. This was one of those indies that like struck gold. It was a beautiful film. Charlie Bartlett.
Yeah, we will talk. I mean, that's such a great film. Such a likable character, but he also really brings out an amazing performance in Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
You know, they play together so well.
It was Robert Downey Jr.'s like coming back role after he had sort of left Hollywood, and I think that it was a really great starting point for him.
I love that film. It's one of those team movies that it's different.
It's different.
It's sort of like Saved in that regard, but it's edgy,
mm-hmm.
but safe.
Yeah, like it is, I think, a perfect teen film. One that's maybe a little too underrated. Speaking of underrated, Odd Thomas. Have you seen Odd Thomas?
I've seen Odd Thomas.
I love Odd Thomas.
I love the character more than I love the movie.
Agreed. The character of Odd Thomas and the way that Anton Yelchin plays him is so amazing.
He's just the most likable person on the planet.
So likable. And
this is the thing about this character. It doesn't matter how much screen time he gets. He becomes the most likable creature on film.
I know. Even like Charlie Bartlett, I don't think anyone else could have done it, because you had to be as likable as him to pull that character off. The Star Trek, he doesn't have a huge role in Star Trek.
No time on Star Trek.
And yet, he's one of the fan favorites. Everyone wants more of Chekhov.
Yes, absolutely. Because when he's saying that Vulcan, or whatever he's saying, and he has to pronounce his V's differently, or his L's, or whatever that was, it's such an endearing little, we get it, man, we get it. And he is an integral part of that, getting those people back to pinpointing them when they fall.
Yeah.
He's like, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And he's trying to phase them back in. Oh, God, like, it's just a small role, but I loved him in that role.
Mm-hmm. What about you? What are some of the movies that you think everyone should see?
For me, House of D.
I've never seen it.
Which is one of the first films I ever saw him in. He plays kind of a not a lost soul. He's like a really curious kid who just is on his own a lot. And there's an interesting befriending of him and this woman who's captive in a prison. And they talk to each other up and down.
What is it about? What's this movie about?
It's actually a flashback. It's David Duchovny. He is older, telling this story of one of these summers in his life. And it's about how he befriended Robin Williams, actually, who is a handicapped person in the neighborhood who Anton Yelkin's character really, really befriends.
Aww.
But he befriends a lot of people in the film. And I almost forgot about this film until I was making this list. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I completely, like, that was such an interesting film. And it's directed by David Duchovny. It's one of his first directed. And it's
So he discovered Anton Yelchin.
He did. He did. One that I think, I don't know why it doesn't get more attention for being, maybe because it's a reboot, but Fright Night.
I didn't love it.
Well, again, Yelchin's the best part of the film.
Obviously.
He totally kills it over Colin Farrell. But I thought it was fun. I thought it was on par with the original because the original is really dated. And I just really enjoyed it. Odd Thomas is on my list as well. Again, he plays a likable guy who can see ghosts and solve crimes. It's so interesting. 5 to 7.
Okay, I haven't seen that. It is like something I really, really want to see.
5 to 7 is about an affair that the husband and the wife consent to. Between 5 and 7 o'clock every weekday, they're allowed to have their extramarital affair. I started watching this film, I guess around like 11 o'clock. I was trying to go to sleep, and I was up until the very end. I was just like, I couldn't. Normally, I fall asleep when I put on a movie.
I didn't know that it was about an affair that was known about.
Oh, completely
known
about.
You don't know that, like, when you read, like, the little synopsis, it's like, they have an affair from 5 to 7 p.m. Like,
yep. He is dating her and falls madly in love with her. She falls madly in love with him, but she's not going to leave her marriage because it's a very status-driven thing. They have children. And it funny enough, it actually has one of my favorite lines, and this is true. Like, this is not for the podcast. I wrote down the last line in the film.
What?
And I put it into my Google Keep under my favorite quotes. It's, your favorite story was written for one reader. It didn't get great reviews, but I loved it. And Anton Yelchin plays a different kind of character. He isn't always likable in this film. He's
really,
he makes bad decisions and you don't always sympathize with what he's doing. And we already talked about Star Trek because wonderfully small role.
Yeah. Brilliant. Ugh, this guy, he just.
So what haven't you seen?
5 to 7.
Yeah.
Middle of Nowhere, which has Susan Sarandon, Susan Sarandon's daughter, Eva, and Anton Yelchin. Like, how have I not seen that?
That is one that I will add to my to-see list as well.
Like crazy. I've heard great things
about
that.
I have too. And it was on Netflix for so long. And for whatever reason, it reminds me too much of Crazy Beautiful. And I didn't like Crazy Beautiful.
But I think they're very different movies.
They probably are. I've heard people tell me it's amazing.
I've heard really good things. And then I just saw one on IMDb while I was looking at his profile. Green Room, where he...
Oh, Patrick Stewart's in that one.
Yeah!
Yeah, it just came out, actually, and is it's on my list. Like,
I really want to see it.
Have to see it when it comes... It was on...
He doesn't do thrillers often.
Right.
And it is a thriller, and I feel like he'd be amazing at that.
It looks fantastic. It's by the director of Blue Ruin, which was a movie I really, really enjoyed a couple of years ago. A little indie film about revenge, and it's crazy. So I'm really excited to see Green Room. It's on my list. Also, Alpha Dog is on my list, which is something I've never seen.
I saw it.
And everybody tells me it's like this fun little gangster movie.
It's okay.
Okay. And he was also apparently, looking on IMDb, the boy in the fire in the movie 15 Minutes.
Oh.
And I am one of the fans of 15 Minutes. It is such a polarizing film. People either love it or hate it. I love it. I own it. I'm going to watch it again just to see that cameo.
I've never even heard of it.
It is Ed Burns and
Robert De Niro. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's
we
a
should
fire...
watch this together.
Oh, let's add it to the list of rewatching movies. And I find it really funny that neither one of us picked Terminator Salvation as one that we really recommend to anyone.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even watch it.
You're the lucky one because I did. And it is not on this list for a reason.
That was one of those blockbusters that he was banking on.
That's right. He made a ton of cash, I'm sure. It's time for a top three turf war. And because this is our sci-fi episode, we are doing the top three movies set in space. And
there are big rules to this.
I insisted.
And you know what? You were right, because it would have dominated. We would have had a very simple list.
There's no Star Wars allowed.
No Star Wars of any sort.
No Star Trek allowed.
No Star Trek of any sort.
Because my list would have been Star Trek, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's our top three turf war. We go one apiece, and then we try to make a list. That's it. That's all it is. So, Ivana, what's your number three?
Spaceballs.
Oh, I feel like that's almost a cheat, but I love that you put it on there.
It's not technically Star Wars or Star Trek.
I love that you put it on there, and Spaceballs is such a great film.
Such a good movie. And it's old, but like in a way that shouldn't be redone. If you have not seen it, go and watch this movie.
Oh, I see your Schwartz is as big as mine. This is lightsaber dick fighting. It's so funny.
It's so funny.
Mel Gibson as a makeshift Yoda. Or not Mel Gibson, sorry. Mel Brooks.
Thank you. Yeah, I was like, wait. Something sounds wrong. It is a Mel Brooks film.
Yep, it's a Mel Brooks film. And he shows up as like this Yoda character who has all this merchandising. And just so great. It is.
Is it on your list?
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman, yeah.
John Candy.
The little guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Rick Moranis. the love interest from The Sure Thing, which is Daphne Zoo. I can't remember
your name. I know
who
you're talking about, but
you were in like
her.
A bunch of final seasons on One Tree Hill as Brooke's mother.
All right. Let's stop beating about the bush. Is it on your top three list?
It did not make my list. No. I thought it was too close.
Okay.
So my number three is Event Horizon.
Oh, that is a good movie.
It is like the scariest. Space or no space, one of the scariest freaky movies I've ever seen in my life. And this is about them trying to find a black hole or a wormhole so they can jump from one end of space to the other. And they call it the Event Horizon. And I've only watched it three times. So if I screwed up.
I've only seen it once.
Okay. If I've screwed up the science, make sure you tell me in the comment section today. Or you tweet at me, because I do not want to get this wrong for us Event Horizon nerds. But that is number three on my list. What is number two?
Number two on my list is Alien.
Okay, I don't have Alien on my list, but I do have one of those movies.
Which one do you have?
At number two, I have Aliens.
You know what? It has been a while since I've seen them. I don't entirely know which out of the two of them I'm like, I loved more.
So I have Alien as a great space thriller, and then I have Aliens as a great space action movie. I recently watched them both again, and Aliens did skirt higher just because there's so much more action.
Mm.
We get the stay away from her, you bitch. We get so many.
You know what?
Iconic things from Aliens.
I'll switch mine to Aliens. Just
and
to
Alien
make it easy.
Is great too. I just.
Because honestly,
it's
I can't
so much
remember.
Slower than Aliens. I really like Aliens.
I really can't remember which out of the two of them I prefer. I went with the first because usually the first is best. But I'm perfectly happy to switch mine to Aliens, and then we're done. We already locked that in at number two because we both agree.
I'm good with that. What's your number one?
My number one, and I really hope it's the same as your number one.
I don't think it will be.
Because I don't think I can say no to this.
Okay.
WALL-E.
Oh my God, how did I forget about WALL-E? How did I forget about WALL-E?
What did you do? What did you pick?
My number one is Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's great.
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I didn't pick WALL-E.
Okay.
Okay, why it didn't pop into my head. I tried really hard to make sure that every movie was all in space and there was never a earthbound moment in the film.
Oh.
Like, I originally had Apollo 13 on my list, and I said half of that movie takes place on Earth.
No, see, I would. So that's cut okay. It out. I think it's okay if it's on Earth, as long as it's also in space.
I know. Okay, like, honorable mention to Apollo 13 for not making this list, but like Guardians, Aliens, and Event Horizon, all like start and are in space.
Yeah, but we did not lay that out.
We didn't lay that out. That was my thing. That's what I went with.
Okay, so let's build.
That's why WALL-E wouldn't have been included.
I really think that WALL-E needs to be number one, though. I mean, just the themes in WALL-E alone, this future where we are all fat and on hoverboards and drinking smoothies and like living in space.
And the fact that WALL-E like touches the stars, it makes them oh, WALL-E.
And the fact that that movie makes people cry, and it was basically a silent film, as like a feature film that was almost a silent film in nowadays, and people loved it. Come on.
I'm so good. You know how I feel about WALL-E. You know it's my favorite Pixar film.
Yes.
I'm 100% in.
All right, so it's number one.
And WALL-E's better than Guardians of the Galaxy. It is.
It is.
But now that, with that said, Guardians of the Galaxy,
you think
how did it not make your list?
You know what? I love that movie, but I don't think it's one of the best movies of all time. I think Spaceballs is a little bit more, like, in its own way, intelligent.
I do, as a goofball comedy,
mm-hmm.
But when we're talking space movies and we're talking about spaceships and, you know, like, at its core, Spaceballs is just a comedy parodying Star Wars.
But that is what Mel Brooks does the best.
Of course he does.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that without Star Wars, you don't get Spaceballs.
That's true.
So, and if we don't have Star Wars on this list, we can't have Spaceballs.
I'm okay with that. I will put Guardians of the Galaxy in our number three position if you are acceptable
number
with
this.
Number three?
You moved it from one. WALL-E took one.
I know, but Aliens, we both agreed, is number two. And I think that Aliens is much more of a prolific film. So I think it deserves number two over Guardians.
We definitely get more alien and space-like things in. I'm good with that.
Okay.
You know why? You know why I'm good with that? Because Guardians of the Galaxy, I freaking forgot, has a four-minute scene at the beginning that makes you cry that is on Earth. So,
okay.
Yes, easily Guardians moves up to three.
All right.
I'm good with that. So you want to count us down?
All right, let's do it. Number three, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number two, Aliens. And the number one space movie of all time is
WALL-E.
Let's drop some science. Science, science, science.
I love that intro.
All right. We're going to talk about Jupiter.
Yeah, it's a planet.
It is a planet. And it's also a really big joke today on the Twitterverse.
I saw this a little bit. I didn't look into it very much.
Well, let's do the joke, shall we?
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
Okay. You know how all of Jupiter's moons are named after his lovers and affairs?
Sure.
Well, NASA is sending, or rather has sent, a spacecraft to check up on Jupiter. And you want to know what that spacecraft is called?
I do.
Juno.
Who's Juno?
Jupiter's wife. NASA is sending Jupiter's wife to check on Jupiter and all his lovers and affairs.
Fucking NASA. Why? Why would they do that? Let Jupiter have its fun.
Apparently, it's time for the wife to go home.
Listen, it is the biggest goddamn planet, and it wants to shake its big booty, it's got a big butt and it cannot lie. Poor Jupiter.
All right. So now we're just going to drop some science on you guys all about Jupiter.
Indeed.
So back in the day, the ancient Romans believed that Jupiter was the god of the sky and thunder, as well as the king of the gods. Similar to Zeus, he tends to be associated with the thunderbolt and eagles. For those who are familiar with Greek gods, he is the equivalent to Zeus.
And then, in the year 1610, Galileo, he's looking at the stars, he discovers Jupiter's got four moons, Io, Europa, Ganymede, and Callisto. He observed the objects orbiting around Jupiter. He used this observation to prove that everything in heaven did not orbit the Earth, but instead that the Earth orbited the Sun, which is a pretty important freaking fact of our galaxy.
And that wouldn't have been able to happen without Jupiter. So what about today? 5 years ago, NASA planned an epic journey with the spacecraft named Juno for it to go all the way over to Jupiter. And recently, they have achieved orbit around Jupiter. Soon enough, we're going to be learning more and more about this gas giant. So, let's do a quick recap about what we know thus far and list our top six Jupiter factoids.
Number one, Jupiter is a giant-ass gas planet. It's also the brightest in Earth's night sky because it's so freaking massive. It contains more than double the mass of all the other planets, moons, comets, asteroids, and in the whole solar system.
Its size indicates that it's likely the first planet that formed around our sun.
And Jupiter rotates very quickly. Where we do a 24-hour spin, it does a 10-hour spin.
We've started to notice that Jupiter's famous giant red spot, otherwise known as, what did you call it earlier today?
It's a pimple.
It's a pimple. Well, it's actually shrinking. And so now we think it won't live forever.
He's getting all that booty. He's got to have some clearasil up there or something. We know now that there are 67 moons orbiting Jupiter. 67!
That's insane.
All those wives.
Jupiter also has the strongest magnetic field of all of the planets with the most hazardous radiation zone in our solar system.
I gotta ask, do you think that NASA just wants to send this up there to cockblock Jupiter? Because hell hath no fury, like an intergalactic spacecraft named after a pregnant teen. Trailer trash.
I love that intro.
And I can't believe that we've never done this trailer. So if you are listening to us right now, you've seen this trailer. You know this trailer. It's a space trailer. Guaranteed, if you're listening to a nerd podcast that somewhat focuses on movies, you know what we're talking about. What are we talking about, Ivana?
We're talking about the epic Rogue One trailer.
That's right. Star Wars Rogue One, or it's Rogue One, a Star Wars story, which I think is awesome. So this is a prequel to Episode 4, before the original Death Star, the mission to go get the plan so they know how to defeat it. What'd you think of the trailer?
I loved the trailer. I'm so excited by this movie. I think, you know what? They created a really wonderful... You know what? They created a really wonderful world, and it's so rich, and there's so many different stories that we can tell in this world, and I'm glad that they're going through it in an original way. They're just like saying, we're all in the universe. We're going to make a whole ton of different Star Wars things, but each story is going to be original, and we want to create new characters and new stories and all that kind of stuff.
And it works so well with The Force Awakens. You introduced us to some characters that I love those characters. It was nice seeing Harrison Ford on the screen, but it was so great getting to know the new characters, getting to know Rey and Finn and Poe. These are characters that all have one-syllable names, and I love it. So the trailer comes up, and we have Felicity Jones as this badass Star Wars rebel.
That was Felicity Jones.
Felicity Jones. And she is amazing. I love the line, this is a rebellion. I rebel. Like, such a great line. And it, you know, it introduces us to Forrest Whitaker's character. We didn't see much Jedi in this. And I can I raise my hand and just say, I kind of don't want Jedi to show up in this.
Interesting. I mean, I think there will be some Jedi.
Well, it has been said that Vader will show up at some point.
Ooh.
So my question is, how should Vader show up in this film? What do you think?
I mean,
should he get a big role? No. Should it be something small?
I think it needs to be a smaller role towards the end of the film.
Okay, that's fair. And what do you think? I mean, these are characters that have no tomorrow right now in the Star Wars universe. Think about it this way. We're going to fall in love with all of these characters, and anyone at any time can die because we don't see them in episode 4 except Darth Vader.
Yeah, but I mean,
the stakes are so high.
I think that what we'll notice is that they will have new movies to be told about these people. They'll go on to do other missions.
Possibly.
I think some will die.
They haven't said that that's going to happen.
That's true. They haven't said that it's going to happen. But I have a feeling that they're building, you know, their own trilogy.
I don't think so, because the next one-off Star Wars movie, from what I understand, is a Han Solo, like an early Han Solo movie.
Interesting.
I think all of these stories can just be
standalone stories,
which gives us the greatest stakes. Like, we could fall really in love with Felicity Jones and she fails to come home. She gets the plans back, but she fails to come home. Or she, you know, maybe Vader kills her.
I think we're going to see her. I think we're going to see her show up in, maybe it's going to be somewhat like Kevin Smith-ish, where since they all live in the same universe, they'll be in each other's movies, but maybe in smaller pieces.
That would be cool.
That'd be cool.
Maybe a young Han Solo ran into a girl, Felicity Jones, or Forrest Whitaker's character meets up with Han Solo at some point. I don't know.
Exactly. So I think that there's a lot of possibilities, but the way that they set up the trailer, I can't imagine that when this makes so much money that they're going to just let it go.
And I genuinely believe they should do one-off movies. No other series has done this.
I do like that. I mean, I've never heard of it. It seems so brilliantly genius.
Because think about all of the books that live in canon. Okay. At the beginning of the year, I bookmarked all of the Star Wars canon in all the universe, and I made an impossible decision that I was going to get through all of it in my lifetime. There is so much that it's not going to happen. And one, it also means I got to watch The Phantom Menace again, which I am not looking forward to. But there's so many books. There's so many side stories. There's so many comics. Everything that lives in canon, that I think you can totally have these one-off stories that enter into canon that...
I do really think it would be beautiful. I just don't see them ending it. I think that sometimes, especially in Hollywood, if a movie makes enough money, they will make another movie of it. And she's currently filming it. Like, currently, it says it's filming right now. So... you know, there could be another one that they decide.
Back to the trailer. Donnie Yen.
Such a cool fighter.
Oh, my God.
Such a cool fighter.
So is he training stormtroopers or is he fighting stormtroopers? We have no idea. I think that's going to be some of the best action in the film.
Yeah, I completely agree. I happen to think, like, he's got to be somewhat Jedi-esque.
Right. I agree. What about when they're running out and you see the walkers come in? The massive AT-ATs. Even your Star Trek heart smiled a little.
Yeah, but it smiled more at him than that. Him and his really cool staff sword fighting thing.
So, if you could, because we haven't really, we dedicated this episode to Star Trek Beyond coming out this week. We haven't really talked about it. If you could have one Star Trek character show up in the Star Wars universe...
In the Star Wars universe.
What character would you like to just pop up somewhere?
Data.
Can you imagine if they ever cross streams?
They couldn't.
One's future, one's past. I get it. But are you telling me there hasn't been time travel in Star Trek? Of course there has.
Of course.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
Of course there has.
There has. So what if they went back to a galaxy far, far away, jumped through the event horizon... and they had Data in an episode or in a film. Would that, like, be your favorite Star Wars film ever at that point?
It depends on the story.
You're keeping your fangirl so in check. I love it.
Well, I mean, if they butcher the story, then of course I'm not going to love it.
Yeah, you'd probably be pretty pissed.
I'd be really pissed. So, I mean, if you're going to cross streams like that, it's got to be worth it. Because that's like a hefty price to pay to meld those two universes.
Well, I feel like this has been a very, very geeky show.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is really tell our audience what we're watching next week that will solidify our geekness.
Except for, to me, it just is so cool. It's my favorite television comedy I've decided recently of all time.
And she's specifically saying television comedy because in her excitement of talking about this show, she almost forgot about Mr. Robot and yesterday said, it's the greatest show of all time. At which I said, Mr. Robot? And she's like, it's the greatest comedy of all time.
I will say this. While I've been like recently thinking about what the best comedies on television have been, I actually have always only been talking about comedies because it's really hard. I think you just need to delineate. Like, you can't mix those two genres. Comedies, dramas. They're different worlds. I can't choose between them.
You don't have to.
And so this is the best television comedy of all
time. I think at some point we should do our, like, run down a top 10 list that we built pre the show of the top 10 shows, period, end. I get five, you get five, and we meld them.
Or maybe we do it like our top 10 Oscar movie thing. Oh, right before the new TV season.
Oh, my God. All right. That's going to be a long episode, but we know you'll stick with us.
Okay. So what we're going to be watching next week is the best television comedy of all time, Silicon Valley.
I have never seen it. And when Ivana heard I never saw it, she immediately was like, and that's what we're watching for podcast. Done. So I will watch Silicon Valley.
As many episodes as you want. I'll just rewatch all three seasons this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Just all three seasons. No big deal. They're so good. It's so good.
Is it an HBO show?
It is an HBO show.
Okay. All right. I think I can track this down.
And all three seasons are currently available on HBO. And if all we can get through is even the first season, just watch as much as you can. I'll rewatch all of it and we'll talk up to that point.
You are a mental case. You're not going to watch all of it this weekend. You have things to do.
Yeah. And while I do those things, the show can play in the background.
Okay.
That's it for today, folks. Thanks so much for listening and be sure to tune in again next week.
And we'd like to take a quick minute to give a shout out to J Lav, who left us a review.
He's from Canada.
He is from the Canada.
And he says he really likes it when we talk TV, movies, and tech.
What else is there to talk about?
Science. News.
Sex in the news.
True. Advice to people who aren't asking us for advice.
All the games we play.
Any
impossible,
of the games.
Her possible.
There's just a lot of things.
Yeah, we talk about a lot.
Do you think he doesn't like those parts of our show?
I think he loves those parts of our show because how could he not? but I think, because he also says it sounds like there's nothing more important to us. And in the moment, there's not.
That's true. Whenever we fight, winning the fight is the most important thing in the world at that moment.
That's right. And it always has been. And this is why we're so close.
So if you want to help us support the show, we would really appreciate it. All you need to do is hop over to iTunes and give us a quick rating and a review. It really does help to grow this show.
If you'd like to reach out to tell us anything else on your mind, you can check us out at friendselephants.com.
Or Facebook.com/friendselephants.
Email us at friendswithelephants@mail.com.
Or catch us on Twitter. I'm @itsivana.
And I'm @JesterJ.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
We'll be back again next Monday with a brand spanking new episode.
Till next time.
Nerd on, Ella friends.